Tunnel presents If It Be Love.
Hi, Echo.
This is our second podcast, and I'm Akko Mitchell, and I'm in a show called If It Be Love at the Brunel Museum and other lovely venues in Rotherhithe, which I didn't say last time. And I am this time interviewing the lead actress, producer, creator, founder of the entire project, If It Be Love, Alice Bird. Alice.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about why you want to do this project, how, where it came from.
I guess it all started with the wonderful acting coach, Bathsheba Garnett, and doing classes with her. And she focuses more on American plays, but Dan, my friend and flatmate who I met through Bathsheba, is a lover of Shakespeare, as am I, and have been passionate about Shakespeare my whole life. And so we were really pushing to do Shakespeare, which we did in her class, and enjoyed it so much that we decided to work on some scenes. And so the plays came about because, initially of Hamlet, really, because it's my favourite play of all time ever.
Why is that?
For many reasons. Probably it's close to my heart because I studied it at school. Okay. And I just, that was my sort of introduction in jumping into Shakespeare, and I was just overwhelmed with love for the play.
As a little kid?
As, I think, GCSE or A-level.
And how old is that, would you say?
16, okay. 17.
Oh, okay. So that's the time you really, first time you really got really hooked into...
Hamlet was what hooked me. I did Twelfth Night about 50 million times, which I also loved, but Hamlet really struck a chord.
What was it about it that hit you at 16?
The poetry and the language, Ophelia. I remember loving her speech, and I just used to memorize all the speeches. So I'd stand up in class and do them.
Unprompted. You just memorize the speeches.
Yeah, because, you know, I love them, and so I...
Right.
It was the language of specific... But actually, mainly the Hamlet's three main speeches, and Ophelia's bit as well.
So you looked at some of that stuff outside of this class with this Bathsheba person, and initially it was Hamlet, and then what went on from there?
Antony and Cleopatra is also a favourite, probably because I did that for A-level. It's not just because I studied them at school, I've had a relationship with these plays for a period of time, whereas Macbeth, I hadn't had a relationship with, but was always very drawn to. And so it was a challenge, and I always knew that I wanted to delve into Lady Macbeth one day, and I hadn't done so far. So that was kind of a newer play to me to bring on. So If It Be Love kind of grew. If It Be Love is the first line of the whole show.
Why is that?
The title... Yeah. Good question. It was just one of those moments. I was reading the script one day and we didn't have a title. And we were thinking about the beginning and end and shaping it. And then I just read that line, "If it be love indeed, tell me how much." And that whole question of if it be love, and these, we're specifically exploring the relationship side of each of these plays. So it's the parts when the couple, the man and woman, come together and there's some conflict or relationship development. It's the juicy bits of the relationships of each play, really. And the different facets of love and if it's love. And I thought it was appropriate, but I thought it was one of my crazy suggestions, like, oh, no one's going to like it. But I kind of like, tentatively suggested it, and people were like, oh, that's actually really good.
How did you come up with the clever idea of staging it in different venues.
In a daydream.
Okay, go on.
Well, we were doing the film and we got some funding from Ideas Tap,
mm-hmm.
and to take the film out into the community and kind of bring it to people.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really the aim. I remember I was on the beach filming Antony and Cleopatra, and we were between takes and I was just sitting about. And I just had this vision of Rotherhithe Village and the wonderful locations there and how cool it would be to put these scenes on and how, you know, you could change locations of the plays and do them in this promenade thing. And so it kind of came to my mind, and initially I was going to blend it with the filmed stuff as well. So, because we're going to have a screening at Sans Film Studios,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it would be cool to kind of mix live and
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
screened. But that didn't really work out with the screen stuff, but then what evolved was this completely live performance.
Mm.
And I knew as well that it would have to have music with it. I don't mm-hmm. know, it's just an instinctive thing that
mm-hmm.
it's going to be music and Shakespeare, not mm-hmm. just Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually I think has worked really well because it helps to create the setting for mm-hmm. each of the plays and create the differentiation between them.
Mm-hmm. How's that been, having something that came to you in a daydream be realized? What has that been like?
Well, you forget sometimes, don't you? That I just remembered recently that it came from a daydream. I daydream a lot, so I have these ideas. And a lot of them don't get realised, but this is one that happened.
What do you do with your daydreams?
I don't know. I have so many that they kind
of... Do you collect them? Do you have a big journal full of
no.
Alice ideas?
No.
No?
I'm not a big writer. I'm a big thinker. Like on train journeys, I have massive thoughts about creative things.
We'll talk about that after. So any particular challenges with that, from an acting perspective, with these things, what has stood out to you, or what's
the challenge is that I'm in every single bit. Mm. So preparation wise as an actor, I have to do it quick. It's not like I can prepare all day to play Ophelia. It's like I have to prepare to do Cleopatra, then wipe that slate clean, and then within 5 minutes prepare to play Ophelia. So that's the challenge.
And how do you do that? How does one do that?
I don't know.
You'll find out.
I'll find out, yeah. It seemed to work okay last time. It's just mm-hmm. adrenaline and just being super on it, really. But I feel like it's more of a challenge this time because each scene it goes deeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing with a few days to go to the performance. That's the thing I need to kind of work on.
Is it creating more challenges for you that you're actually having to interact with more people this time as you've added two actors to the show?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that transition from Cleopatra to Ophelia is a big one. That's kind of my main concern at the moment.
How did you choose the order of scenes? What?
With the help of a lovely guy called Jeffrey Kasoon,
mm-hmm.
who's a wonderful actor. He kindly came and helped say, oh, but you can't do it without this scene. You have to have mm-hmm. this scene. And, oh, mm-hmm. we don't really need this. And, oh, but... Ophelia, she doesn't need to be talking to people. You can just cut the other people out and then you've got a speech and, you know, cool stuff like that.
Right.
So and also he changed the order.
Right.
So we had it the other way around. I can't remember how it was now, but
sure.
but now it's more balanced,
sure.
I think.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. We talked in the last podcast a little bit about the venues, and you are a lifelong resident of Rotherhithe. So you probably know a bit more than poor Dan, our director. Could you talk a little bit about the venues?
Yeah.
I think they're extraordinary.
They are extraordinary. The Brunel Museum's hosting it. And so we will be performing one of the pieces in the famous engineer, Brunel. He basically dug the very first underwater tunnel in the world. And Rotherhithe is the site for where he dug it. Mm-hmm. Now, he had to dig down before he went sideways under mm-hmm. the river. And mm-hmm. it took a very long time, as mm-hmm. in, I don't want to misquote now, but something like 17 years or something.
We won't hold you to that, but we know it's a long time.
A long time. Mm-hmm. And he nearly died, very nearly died in it. His son took over. He went bankrupt a few times. There are many wonderful stories that Robert Hulse at the museum would tell more eloquently than I can. Mm-hmm. But what the great thing about it is that there's this stunning space 50 feet underground in a completely circular cavern, Victorian, with crumbling bricks, which was the biggest tourist attraction of its time when it was opened, and has many, many stories, and it's too short a time to speak. but I'd recommend going down there anyway. So mm-hmm. we're performing in there, and that's wonderful. Now, next door to that is Sands Film Studios.
Mm-hmm.
They're an Oscar-winning costume maker, but also film making of all forms. That you can go in there and make a film. They've got all the resources. Oh, right. But primarily costumes.
Right.
They make everything by hand.
Yes.
Nothing, there's no machinery in there. Every buttonhole, every piece of embroidery, everything is mm-hmm. made by hand. Mm-hmm. They've done incredible films, like the costumes for Marie Antoinette, which were mm-hmm. stunning. Mm-hmm. I could list loads. The Young Victoria, Vanity Fair, Pride and Prejudice, the big Keira Knightley one,
mm-hmm.
Anonymous, Alice in Wonderland, loads. Brilliant, amazing costume place. So, and it's also just a wonderful location because it's just a lovely vibe in there that mm-hmm. is very unique and undiscovered, sort of. So, yeah, they've got a studio in there and we're performing in there. We're also performing next door to that in the wonderful church, St. Mary's Church of Rotherhithe, which has mm-hmm. Had a church on that site for thousands and thousands of years.
Thousands and thousands.
Yeah. I mean, it's been rebuilt a few times.
Sure. But that site
over that course. But that site has been a church for mm-hmm. a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Captain Christopher Jones is buried in the churchyard.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Christopher Jones was the captain of the Mayflower
mm-hmm.
who set sail to America
mm-hmm.
from Plymouth.
England, yeah.
But the Mayflower pub is here. This is where it was built.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. there's a replica of the ship on the weather vane of the pub next door, which is also extremely old. So Rotherhithe is a wonderful hidden gem of London, and there's more than I've even said. There's the old school, Peter Hill's, the old building, and there's the watch house and the restaurant, and it's just a really cool place, and I think people are catching on to it, and they've got lots of crowds now coming to the Brunel Museum, so it just feels like a good time to be performing here and bringing creativity and music and Shakespeare.
Fantastic. Well, good luck to you on your show.
Good luck.
And it was lovely talking to you. And when is your show again?
It's this weekend, the 10th and 11th of November. 7:30 on the 10th and 3:30 on the 11th.
Well, we're all very excited, to say the least. And thank you, Alice.
Bye-bye.
I went down to St. James Infirmary.